It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. KMTS Connections connects you to everything that matters in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and pleased to be joined by Bill Kite again from the Glenwood Springs Historical Society. You know, Bill, I was so sad when I heard you were retiring from the Forest Service, and yet, since you retired, we've seen you so much more often.
That's right, yeah, and it's always good to be here. It's a lot of fun to be on your show.
Yeah, well, and of course, you're an old radio veteran of some sort as well. But
exactly, yes.
Anyway, thanks again for taking a little time, and I was going to say, you know, certainly our loss as citizens from the Forest Service is our gain in the Historical Society, so glad to see the improvements that you're making and forging ahead and all that, along with the volunteer board there. And
Thanks.
One of those things that you've done to that end is the survey of citizens, which was recently completed, and so you're going to share the results of that with us today.
I am. I appreciate the chance to do that. We had a meeting back in February, the 22nd, after we did an online survey of folks, asking them some pertinent questions, one of which was how important is Glenwood's history and its preservation? And we had over 1,000 people we sent the survey to and 366 responses, which is really good.
That's pretty good. I want to say for direct mail, normally they say around 10% is pretty good. So you tripled that.
Right. We were glad and surprised by that, but not really, because people in Glenwood have a real passion for their history. As a matter of fact, 223 of those people out of the 366 ranked history preservation the very, very important, number 5 from 1 to 5. So that just shows you how passionate people are about history in Glenwood Springs. We also had a question of is tourism that important? History involved in tourism, that is, you know, highlighting history for tourism, because we know tourism is a primary economic driver for Glenwood Springs' economy. And so 72.9% said, yes, history should be the important driver with tourism in Glenwood Springs. And I think that's really astonishing. We felt like it was important, but now we think the public has given us the go-ahead that it's important to them, too, very important. So those are the kind of survey results we had. And then we asked, in people's opinion, was the Frontier Museum adequately representing Glenwood's history? And 51% said yes. 35% said they weren't sure. And that's the group we want to try to reach better through social media, through new displays and things like that. And then also we have a campaign and we ask questions about, you know, what about a new location with more space? And so that was important for the meeting on the 22nd. We had 30 people at each session, one in the morning, one in the evening. And so we had a really good response from folks, and I'm quite proud of that, because we wanted to know, as we do a vision forward, what the public thinks.
So what did people think about the space?
Well, you know, I think there are a lot of people attached to the building there. And when I met with the board of directors of the chamber the other day, I said, you know, it's not really about a building. It's not really about the artifact in the building. It's about the story. And so we want to be able to tell the story better. We haven't, I don't think, really done as well as we could. History's not really the showcase it should be in Glenwood, and I think we can improve that as part of an economic package in our strategic planning that we're calling Vision in Action.
Of course, that house, the building where the museum currently is, has been there for over 100 years, I want to say,
right.
At the corner of 10th and Colorado.
Right.
And for at least 30 years, it's been the museum. How long has it been the museum?
It's been since 1970. The last part of 1970 was when it was it was donated to the museum when Stella Churchill passed away.
So almost 50 years.
We're coming up on almost 50 years, exactly.
I guess I understand what you're saying. The response was kind of the fact that people are attached to the building. It's been there for a long time. It's been the same thing for a long time.
Right.
And in its own way, it's kind of a historic building as well.
Right. And we're trying to we have some help to get it on the local register. It's not on any register in Colorado, which was a surprise when I became the director that it hadn't been placed on a register. But we're working on that. And if that happens here soon, then we hope to apply for some funds through Colorado's gaming, the Colorado Historic Fund, and see if we can't get the building sort of back to where it should be. It's going to take about $180,000 to $200,000 just to stabilize the building. So we need some funds for that, and we're going to write a grant for that.
Back in the day, they didn't build foundations like they do now.
No, they didn't. And plus, there's old bricks that are called Glenwood bricks that are really friable. You get them wet or anything, and you just kind of crumble. And that's the exposure we've seen in the basement. So we're a little concerned. And so the building, you know, if we have an opportunity for a new building, which I think we will, once the bridge is put in, we can kind of talk about where a new location would be. We've checked a lot of locations of older buildings, and they're not adequate to what our needs are. And so that's going to be a big step and a big jump for people, but I hope they back us on trying to find a new building.
So what would happen to the existing building then if you did move somewhere else or build a new building?
Well, that could be a sore point with folks because they really like the building. The garden club has put in a herb garden in the back, and the neighbors all really like that. We've invited them to come and in the summer, and if they need some herbs, to go ahead and pick them from the garden. So there's a real attachment there to the building, but at the same time, if it doesn't serve the purposes for which the public has told us they are concerned about history and it doesn't serve our purpose, then we need to move on and try to get a new building.
So you'd probably sell it.
Right.
Sell the property as well as the building. And I guess it would, well, it's downtown, so I suppose it would be zoned commercial, but it would pass on to someone else.
Right, yeah. And there may be another nonprofit that would really benefit from the building.
Okay. So you could work out something then with another nonprofit.
Right, exactly.
All right. So again, the results, I think I took good notes on this from that survey that was conducted in, was it February, January?
Yeah, I think we did it in January. Yeah, out in January.
73% said history is an important driver for tourism, which makes sense in our area. It seems like a lot of people are interested in that when they come to visit. As well as playing in the new modern stuff. You know, they're curious about history and that kind of thing.
Right, and we don't feel like we're really taking advantage of the fact that people come here for history. They come here to see Doc Holliday's grave. They come here to participate, really, in the history. And we want it to be more of an involvement with people where they're part of the story, actually.
The other question I found interesting was, is the museum adequately representing the history? And you said 51% of the respondents said yes, 35% said no.
Actually, not sure. Yeah,
okay.
They're not sure. There were 12% that said no. So
the people that are not sure are the ones that you're really targeting for the awareness campaigns to
exactly,
learn
yeah.
more about it.
And we're planning on having a membership drive right now. The board of directors is looking at all of the comments, and we had over 6,000 comments with each of the questions people could comment. And it was amazing. I mean, they had some wonderful comments there that we're sorting through now to come up with what are our top priorities this year, the next year, you know, in 5 years. So we've heard from people. That was the first step. That was an important step for me.
6,000 comments out of, you said, how many people responded?
366.
So that says to me that folks are really interested and they're really passionate about this.
Exactly.
They may not agree in exactly what the future should be, but they all agree it's important. And clearly they're invested in actually putting some effort into sharing their opinions.
Exactly. And that's what we were hoping for, an investment in folks in how we do and how we represent telling the story. How we do that is important.
Is staffing also something that you're ultimately going to have to take a look at as you move forward?
Absolutely. You know, we're right now just barely hanging on with our fingernails because our people that work there, our staff, are part-time. And, you know, that's really a need that we have to address in the future, for sure. Absolutely.
Again, Bill Kite from the Glenwood Springs Historical Society is visiting with us today. By the way, if you would like to check out more, you do have a website, right, Bill?
It's being worked on still. We're just about there, and so that was very important to us, and I wish it was ready, but it's just not quite.
All right. Well, we'll keep our mouths shut for now then. But I want to say that you've got a Facebook page set up.
Right, correct.
And so you can learn more about that there. And sometimes with events and that kind of things, Facebook is a little more practical for getting that word out anyway.
Right, and people comment. We try to get back to them as soon as we can. So that's one way to reach us.
So just search Facebook for Glenwood Springs Historical Society and stay tuned for the website. So the Historical Society has been in the news a lot lately over the last month or so. We'll talk about that also. And I don't know, see what else comes up. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're visiting with Bill Kite, the Executive Director of the Glenwood Springs Historical Society and the museum, if you will, in downtown Glenwood. Why do you think history is so important to folks in this day and age?
I think people need something to anchor our lives with, you know. And if we look in the past, we can see lessons that people can teach us. Also, though, I think, take Doc Holliday, for example. I think if you really are serious about looking into the past, I think people like Doc, there's a little bit of him in all of us. And people don't like to think about that. People, upstanding citizens, don't like to think about that. But I think that's really the draw. Is here's a person in the past who had nothing to lose. Mm. What did he do with his life? And if we had nothing to lose, what would we do with our lives? So I think those questions that we ask of the characters in the past that were notorious, that came through Glenwood, stayed here, lived here, that in itself is really appealing to people. You know, Ted Bundy was here. That's another example.
Sure.
So if you tell the story properly, appropriately, I think it draws people because we're all interested in the characters that, you know, the lives they live. They're exciting. And people, I think, get enthusiastic about that if we do it properly.
Well, and in the 1880s, which is around the time of Doc Holliday, right?
Right, correct.
And so I want to say it was 1885 when... Is that when the city was founded? I remember 1985 was the 100th anniversary of Glenwood. I don't remember if it was Defiance at that time or what exactly the history was.
Well, yeah, I remember that too, and I'm not quite sure on that date because it was a big deal, and I had just gotten here in 1984.
Okay. I remember a big thing about the centennial celebration, though.
Right,
you know, the 85 Strawberry Days was, I believe that was the theme, actually. And remember, they dedicated Two Rivers Park that year, and they had the big totem out there.
Right,
in celebration
exactly.
Of the 100th anniversary. And again, history. And I understand why folks that have a history here, you know, whose families have been here for 100 years or so would be interested. And newcomers want to learn about their new home.
Well, and also visitors. You know, Glenwood has a history since it was founded of being a resort town.
Sure.
And so I think it's important to remember that and to use that as a springboard to tell the story. And that's really what we want to do, is tell the story better than what we're doing now.
Do you have a timeline? You're talking about, you mentioned after the bridge is done and kind of all the drama that will be associated with that, that has been and will be. In your mind, has the board discussed what they would like to see happen and over how long a period of time?
Well, that's what we're doing right now by going through the comments and going through the survey, is to pick what we need to concentrate on first. What are the top three priorities that we need to do? And I think one of those is going to be finding a new building, because we want to tell the story better of the locals, which is really quite a history if you look at it. And we have the photographs to go with that, the shooty photographs. So, you know, we're just keeping them in the basement there. We want to crawl out of that basement in a big way and tell the story.
We've talked in the past about the amount of archives that you have. And you mentioned that you do have some on display. You've got obviously things for folks to look at. There is the museum is there and is open. But you've got a lot more in the basement and in storage that folks really don't have access to on a regular basis, on a casual basis. It's the sort of thing, if you want to make an appointment, sure, you're welcome to go take a peek at it. But it's not on display per se.
Right, and that's what we want to correct, and we can in the building that we're in. It's just too small.
Sure. So. Do you? And again, you're working on, you said, the top three priorities, and you're still trying to, it sounds like, kind of shake that out.
And I'm the kind of person, kind of simple-minded sometimes. You give me three things I can handle. Give me four, I can't. So I kind of operate on a top three of anything.
Yes. Then, and you please, know, one thing at a time.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anymore, that's, yeah. And I tell people, you know, they get real serious about something, and I just say, is it life-threatening? Mm-hmm. Because if it's not, then we can deal with it. It's right. Not a big deal. So, and I think the older you get, the more you have a perspective on that. You know, what's really important? And what's really important to me is Glenwood's history, and to the board. I've got a very supportive board. They're amazing. And so we want to move forward into the future. Our logo shows that. It has a young lady pointing into the future. Our new logo and our tagline is "It's About Time." So we're starting a new column in the paper. Kane had retired from doing the Frontier Diary. And I'm hoping that we can bring her back occasionally, if not after a rest. That's really important to people, that column. But I want to start a new one looking to the future called It's About Time.
And Nellie Duffy also.
Right.
Something similar, like Pages from the Past.
It was Pages from the Past, right. People like that a lot. So we'll just put that in a hiatus for now.
There you go. All right. Well, we will look forward to the future and look forward to reading those. I'm not sure I've ever asked you this before. I'm not sure I ever saw the connection before. In Forest Service, part of your job was archaeology, right?
Right. When I first came in 1992, archaeology, then I became the Heritage Resource Manager, and it was also the liaison with the Ute tribes.
So all of that seems to actually fit very well and seems to be pretty connected to executive director of the Historical Society, actually.
You know, I think so. And when I thought about, well, what am I going to do after retire from the Forest Service? I could, you know, sell pencils on the street. I thought about that. That's not very, very good job. And I get in trouble if I'm not doing something. So this is a perfect fit for me.
I'm curious if there's been any discussion with the other historical societies. You know, Basalt, they actually just refurbished the Arbony Barn. The Rifle Historical Society has been a little more public. You know, they had a bunch of, what are they called, the glass negatives.
Glass plates,
yes. Yes, the glass plates that were donated to them, and they were trying to identify those. Of course, Silt Historical Society and the museum in Newcastle has been pretty active. Has there been any conversation with other executive directors of these other similar organizations, do you think? And do you think that could be a possibility of all of you working together at some point?
Well, actually, we are right now. The historical societies in Glenwood and in Garfield County have been meeting regularly with John Martin, one of the county commissioners, because we'd like to try to prepare folks for a possible mill levy that would fund the historical societies in Garfield County. So that's been a long process. We're still at the point of drafting a resolution, because we think if the public likes history like we know they do, that they're willing to fill in the gaps that we're not really able to do certain things with because of lack of funding. And so that's something we are working together. There's the Four Rivers Alliance, which is The societies in Eagle and Garfield and Pitkin County have come together and meet occasionally to do things. So we are working together as best we can, working closely also with the Carbondale Historical Society, Mount Sopris Historical Society. So we do work together. We call each other. We help each other out, and that's the way to do business.
Sure, absolutely. In any industry, whether you're commercial or non-commercial, although
exactly.
Sometimes we forget that.
Yep.
As far as the Glenwood Springs Historical Society is concerned, what is your current funding mechanism?
Well, we take from the A&I tax that was voters went ahead and re-upped that in 2018. $50,000 comes out of there toward the museum. And I met yesterday with the city manager talking about how best to do that, because right now my salary comes out of that. It's a nonprofit, so it's kind of an interesting relationship there, and we'd like to clarify that a little bit better with the new city manager. So that's part of our funding, and then we get $50,000 approximately from other sources. So it's about a $90,000 to $100,000 budget that we operate on.
Again, we'll probably hear more about that in the future once, as you say, that resolution is drafted, and then that would be, mill levies have to go to a vote. So,
right, yeah,
I'm
exactly.
Sure we'll be talking more about that at some point in the future,
right.
If that becomes a possibility again. That would just affect Garfield County voters.
Right.
But you do, you know... for the most part, people don't recognize those political boundaries. So, you know, on a daily basis, you interface, I'm sure, with similar organizations all the way up and down our area.
Right.
And you mentioned, you know, the Four Rivers organization. I'm thinking, Four Rivers? I forgot about the Frying Pan.
Exactly.
Well, I would assume it's the Frying
Pan. And the Eagle, too.
Right, Eagle. Yeah. So Eagle, Roaring Fork, Colorado, and Frying Pan.
Yeah.
I guess if you wanted to get Gunnison County involved, I guess that would kind of be Pitkin, too. You could involve the Crystal River, so that would be five. So there you go.
Yeah, so.
details. Geography was not one of my strong suits, I'm telling you that. Geography and, well, just about anything else. Again, we're visiting this afternoon with Bill Kite from the Glenwood Springs Historical Society. If you would like to keep up to date with them, just go to Facebook and search for Glenwood Springs Historical Society. I wrote down membership drive, so we definitely want to talk about that. And we'll talk about, speaking of Doc Holliday, the Derringer that has been in the news so much. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, Bill Kite from the Glenwood Springs Historical Society is here. So talk a little bit about Doc Holliday's Derringer now.
I thought to the point I gave $5,000 that this gun was the real thing. And then up comes some questions about the validity of it. And so, you know, that's where we are. And, you know, I'm in contact with some of these gun dealers and experts and still trying to find out what we can. Spoke to one of them yesterday and online this morning in an email. And one of the experts and these guys don't like to be identified, so so that tells you something right there, told me after he's an expert who has written a book on Derringers. And he said, you can't say it was Doc's gun or wasn't. It could have been. Well, yeah, that's kind of where we are with this thing, and we want to get to the truth of the matter. We want to find out what's really happening here, and so we're digging in as best we can. It's not easy. We may not ever be able to prove it, and you know, that's just the way it is. And that's you know, what do we do about that? I think we can tell the story whether it is or not in a new museum and let people decide. Here's what we found out. Here's what we thought. And you decide.
Now, has this purchase already happened, by the way?
I'm
not clear on that. Okay.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Okay. So you have the Derringer in your possession.
It's in a safe deposit box right now, and we're trying to figure out how to secure it in a good way and go ahead and let people see it. And so that might be with service clubs. I already have one appointment with the Rotaries clubs, the Rotarians. So yeah, we'll be able to show it in certain ways to folks, because we want to do that. It's controversial, you know,
but so was Doc Holliday.
Well, yeah, and so we're doing the best we can. We feel like that we entered into all this with good faith, and the person we purchased it from was just like everybody that touched it, that bought it over 50 years, thought it was the real thing. So we're not alone in this. And we brought shine. We were shining light on something that stays in the dark a lot. Gun collectors, like I say, are very secretive. And this gun was never part of the public to look at before we came along. And so whatever happens from this, we want to continue to tell the public, have them involved. We have all along. That's the only way I like to operate. That's the only way the board of directors likes to operate. Let the public know what's happening as best we can. If we find out new information, we'll do the same thing. We'll let people know.
As I'm listening to you describe this Derringer that could have been Doc Holliday's, I'm reminded of Doc Holliday's grave. Well,
yeah,
it's somewhere in Linwood Cemetery.
Exactly. And the mystery, I think, surrounding a lot of characters like Doc is what—
It's part of the draw.
It is part of the draw. But we want to be genuine in what we're doing and authentic. And so we're headstrong into looking in every possible place we can to let people know, hey, this is or isn't. Until then, we're hanging on to it.
Would that make it the most valuable piece in the museum's collection?
I think it would either way, you know, simply because now, like it or not, we didn't ask for this, but like it or not, we're now part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the whole death of Doc Holliday and the story surrounding that. So it's interesting, even 130 years or so later.
Right.
All of the conversation about Doc Holliday always seems to involve Glenwood, particularly when you're talking about his death, because he did die here.
Right.
And now still the conversation continues even to this day, and there are new conversations being made.
Exactly, yeah. That's the way history moves along.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah.
Like you say, looking toward the future.
Exactly.
What about the membership drive?
Well, we haven't figured out how we want to do that. You know, we don't have more than, we have about 100, over 100 members, and we'd like to have more. We'd like for people to be involved. And I haven't had the time, because of all this, to do a newsletter, which people really like, to keep people informed. So we'll be doing some public outreach for the membership drive here as soon as we can, when we get our act together on how we want to do that.
So if you're on Facebook, make sure that you like Glenwood Springs Historical Society, and you'll get those updates. And hopefully you'll come back and talk to us about that, too, when that happens.
But I appreciate the opportunity to do that, yes.
I want to say you've got membership options for individuals, families, and businesses.
Exactly, right.
Okay. And if anyone has any questions, you know, as you say, history is one of those things that folks that are interested in it seem to really be interested. So if someone has something particular, a research project, that kind of thing, they can always schedule an appointment to go take a look at the archives, right?
Exactly. And we like to, for people to do that because our archivist isn't there. She's part-time. We want to make sure that she knows what's right. Going on. She has other appointments. So please do that if you'd like to come see us for archival purposes. Otherwise, just come in the museum, and it's open $5 for adults, $4 for seniors, and kids are free.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty
good. $5
for
a lot of history,
yep.
And maybe learn something you didn't know.
Exactly.
Including, do I remember that there's a big model of the Titanic in the museum? Am I confusing with something I saw somewhere else?
Well, we have two reconstructed model ships in the basement, which I have no idea why we have them. It doesn't have anything to do with Glenwood history, and it's a puzzlement to me, and I'm still trying to figure it out. And a lot of people, you know, feel guilty. They clean out something. It's something was given to them. They don't know what to do with it, so they want to give it to us. It really doesn't relate to what our mission is. So.
Gotcha.
And that's that's unfortunate, but we can't right now take a lot of objects. We'll be glad to take documents or photographs, but till we get more space, we're stuck pretty much.
That might be one of those things that you look at in the future then is a system for those things that don't really relate to Glenwood Springs or the area, finding a way to divest yourselves of it.
Exactly, and that's a good way to put it, because I think people understand if we can't display something, and if we can get the permission of the owner of course, to ask another museum, would you like to have this, or even possibly have a garage sale. I mean, you know, whatever works for helping us move along into the future, we're going to try it.
What is the phone number at the museum, by the way?
945-4448. And feel free to call me. If I'm not there, leave a message. I'll get back to you.
And again, you know, maybe you've got a family history in Glenwood and you'd like to go see if there's anything there. I'm sure that you probably have a number of pictures that may be unmarked that folks could help identify.
Exactly. And I'm hoping later when we get the website up, we can do that, put photos on there. Do you know where this is? Do you know who this is? Because that's how you get information, is people have it, and we'd like to, again, involve them and have them connected with us.
Perfect. Again, 945-4448, if you'd like to schedule a time to go look at the archives. Otherwise, would you say $5 for adults, $4 for seniors, and then kids are free?
Exactly.
How do you define a kid?
12 and under.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's always important. I like to think of myself as a kid, but most other folks would not agree with that.
Well,
assessment. Yeah,
I'm kind of the same way. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, because I don't want to grow up. I've seen what it does to people. So
I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
Bill, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, as always. And thanks for continuing to serve the public interest in one way or another.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.